Blog Talk Radio.
I'm ballin', yeah. Racked up, no wallet, keep a bet. For my team, I should join the league, NBA. Never broke again, never going broke again.
So much money, got racks on racks on racks on racks on racks on racks. So much money, my team max on stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks. You see me smoking and you know I got that pack, I got that stack, I got that. Oh, I hit the club, I lose control, I troll that loud, I know the grower. Ball like the owner, hit this gym, make things move slower. I'm never sober, roll some weed, our eyes get lower. I'm in my old school, riding sound just like a newer motor. They're wondering how I get these meals and still live like a stoner. No other way I get a 100.
Hope you're having a good evening. This is Scott First, coming at you with the Clown Hour. And I'm the creator of the sports blog, the Clown Times, the Clown Service K. You'll be able to find me on the web and do a search for www.theclowntimes.net. So again, it's Clown with Silver K. And you can find me on Facebook and on TalkSmack and all that good stuff. Just go to Facebook, just type in the first one over Clown Times, and it's Clown Silver K. You'll be able to find me. Anyway, as the song alluded to, we're going to be talking about the 2014 NBA playoffs. I'll give a little preview on both conferences. As I have ESPN 30 for 30, the bad boys are back on, which means that this will be a quick podcast. So, at any rate, I got my man, Dwayne Nash, on the phone right now, on the line, I should say. So, Dwayne, and also, one more thing. In case y'all didn't know, y'all should know by now, but check him out on the yard.com/HBCU Sports online and for everything HBCU Sports and all that good stuff. So, without further ado, Dwayne, what's up, brother?
Scott, what's going on?
You tell me, bro. You tell me. It's my favorite, one of my favorite times of the year, the NBA playoffs. You know, after a long ass regular season, you know, the 82 games and stuff. But since we are in DC, DC area,
yes.
How about those Wizards? How about your Washington Wizards? They did it.
My God. Oh, you know what? Earlier today.
Yes,
I went back and I listened to our podcast on the preview for the NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little tentative about picking my Wizards to make the playoffs, even though I was highly enthusiastic about what the season could bring. There's no way in the world in the beginning of the season had you told me that the Wizards would potentially be playing, well, would have earned a fifth seed this year. There's no way in the world you could have told me that and I believed you. As a matter of fact, if you look at how they played this year, they played almost well enough to win a fourth seed. There were a couple of games there during the season that, you know, had they not have a couple of mental lapses, that they could have won and probably vaulted them up to a fourth seed and they would have been hosting a first-round playoff matchup. But nonetheless, fifth seed, I'm highly ecstatic. It seems like whenever a DC team gets to the playoffs, it's either one of the three, if not all, if not any more than that. We'll see what the Nationals do later on in the year. But, you know, I'm just thoroughly ecstatic that the team has made it to the playoffs. But I'm just surprised that it's not as much of a buzz in the city with them earning a playoff spot. You know, because
it
rarely happens.
Right, and the thing is, I think, you know, and it's too bad, too, because I guess the seasons, you know, between, like, the Gilbert Arenas era here when your boys are making the playoffs annually, you know, going against LeBron James, and he was a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, had that rivalry going.
The crab walks.
Right, and y'all were hot. Y'all were hot in the city now. You guys were hot at that time. Top ticket, you know, the buzz going on with Agent Zero, everything else, you know, Deshaun Stevenson, you know, getting up in LeBron's grill, everyone loved that. But I think the last few seasons were pretty lean, pretty kindly.
Extremely
and,
lean.
Exactly. So I think there are some happy folks here. I mean, I was talking to some people at work about it. A few people were pretty hype about it. But, you know, to your point, they're not – I don't know that I want to call the fans here hesitant and expect another shoe to drop, but I will say this. You know, I give my I'm in the midst of giving my preview on my blog right now, but – well, later on, I should say. But you guys have a decent matchup against the Bulls, but I would say that you guys obviously do not have the experience that Chicago has. You know, sans what's his face? Derrick Rose, obviously. But the thing is, the battle test. But I still think you guys have a decent matchup with them. You guys will not get too overwhelmed, I don't think. I think you guys will win at least two games in this series. So I think that, you know, I don't think it's going to be one-sided as people may think.
And you know what? I love that. I've been listening to that over the past day or so in terms of pundits talking about the Wizards and the lack of playoff experience that they have. But what people don't – I will agree, they don't have playoff experience as a team. But if you look at that roster with Andre Miller, Drew Gooden, Nene, Martin Gortat, tons of playoff experience with those guys. Then you're talking about Trevor Ariza that has a ring. So, you know, there are a lot of guys on this squad that has – playoff experience, and a lot of guys that get a lot of minutes on this team that has playoff experience. I'm just a little bit more concerned about the guard play because, of course, these are younger guys. Well, I shouldn't even say the guard play. I should say John Wall and Bradley Beal because, of course, this is their first time into the playoffs. So we'll see how they react, but I'm expecting the veteran guys to be rather fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, like I said, I like you guys' chances. You know, I haven't picked anyone yet, but I do like the matchup for you guys. But either way, you guys are going to come out golden because you guys are going to have the experience. You're very young and talented. You know, John Wall, the combination of John Wall and Bradley Beal in the backcourt. And to your point, Nene, you know, had that veteran presence down low. And Martin Gortat. Love Martin Gortat this game this year for you guys. Really helped y'all a lot. So, you know, it's the sky's the limit for you guys. Come at least head to next season. But speaking of the Eastern Conference, is it just me or is it seems to be Miami to a lesser extent, Indiana and everybody else?
Yes and no.
I mean, okay.
Yes and no. I've been listening to, I've been listening to all the critics the entire year. Well, not the entire year, but, you know, once the All-Star break hit, actually even before then, how weak the East is. I got to put it to you in perspective. If you look at, you know, the entire conference, both the East and the West, if you look at seeds 1 through 8, one is separated from 8 in the West by, what, about 13 games?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah.
You know, you look
right.
at the East, they're separated by, what, 18, 19?
Right.
But if you look at seeds 1 through 7, they're separated by 13 games. Now, in my opinion, it's still relatively close within the top teams. But once you start getting into Orlando, Boston, Philly, of course that's weak. But when you're talking about the playoff teams, I don't think they're as weak as everybody thinks. And I believe that these games in the playoffs are going to be relatively competitive. Plus, if you're talking about some of the lower teams like Washington, Brooklyn, Charlotte. Charlotte came on toward the last 10, 15 games of the year. So don't count them out. You can kind of count them out. They do have Miami. But they had a relatively strong end of the year. Brooklyn had a pretty strong second half of the year with all of the veterans that they have. I don't think that they're a slouch. Washington had a great entire season, actually. And if you look at the teams that they beat, they've beaten Indiana. They've beaten Miami. They've beaten San Antonio, OKC. They've beaten Portland. They've beaten quality teams. So to say that it's lopsided, the records don't tell the entire story, in my personal opinion. Don't completely knock out the East by saying that it's just Miami and Indiana and also Rams. Even though we all kind of know that once we get past this first round, Miami and Indiana will probably end up being the two final teams in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, I would say this. I, looking at the brackets right now, the matchups, what intrigues me is that, you know, Brooklyn has the opportunity to make a little bit of noise. Keep in mind that Brooklyn swept Miami in the regular season.
Yes.
They were all close games, but they swept them. And the icing on the cake was when your boy Mason Plumlee made that awesome block, and yes, there was a block. It wasn't a foul on LeBron James.
Yes, it was very clean. Very clean.
It was a clean block. I don't care what – I don't give a damn what people say. Apologies. LeBron apologies. Miami, quote-unquote, long-time fans or whatever. That was a damn block. Okay?
You know, it's
they probably would have called it a foul earlier, but –
Of course, but it's the fact that it's LeBron, and it's the fact that it's also a former Duke player that did it.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly
what really is burning a lot of people, is that you have those two factors going on within that play, and of course, stop the Heat from getting a win, and a big win if they need it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the thing. So, and which I love. Now, I will say this. I will say that, you know, that would be an intriguing matchup, but we all know the playoffs, the NBA playoffs, are a different animal. You know, it doesn't guarantee regular season success. A regular season success does not guarantee postseason success, which makes the NBA playoffs so great.
Completely true. I completely agree with you. But
yes.
Before we get into talking about the brackets, like I said before,
okay,
I did listen to our preseason podcast, and I had to laugh at our predictions, especially for the East. The West we weren't too far off with, but with the East, it was such a huge surprise for a lot of things to happen. Now, we both liked New York, the Knicks. We saw what happened with them.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Who else do we both like? We didn't
both pick.
We both did like Indiana, but we didn't like them as much or as well as they played.
Right.
Because you had them as a fourth seed, and technically I had them as a fourth seed. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. The top three seeds go to the division winners. And then you get the rest of the seeding. I don't know what I was thinking. I somehow put Indiana over what I thought would have been the divisional winner in the New York Knicks. But technically, the Knicks would have been my third seed. Indiana would have been my fourth seed. We both had Indiana as a fourth seed. We both picked the Knicks. You picked Cleveland. We both picked New York. Not New York, I'm sorry, Detroit. And I picked the Bucks to make the playoffs. So Toronto and Atlanta were both off our radar. But you did say, and I quote, keep an eye on Charlotte.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you
did.
So I applaud you on that one. No, you said that.
Yeah, that's right, See, I'm old, so I think I thought I was getting everything twisted. But the reason why I like Charlotte before this season, because I like the coach. You know, they came from L.A., from the L.A. Lakers. Whatever his name is. But I liked Al Jefferson a lot. I liked Al Jefferson a whole lot because I seen what this brother could do. And when they landed Al Jefferson in free agency, that was Charlotte's first foreign big man that they've had in brief history. The first foreign big man. And the thing is that he was all of that and then some. He exceeded my expectations, and that's what made, in my opinion, Kemba Walker better. I already loved Kemba Walker as a player anyway, but it made Kemba Walker better. It made Henderson better, in my opinion. It made and also I like the trade middle of the season when they landed Gary Neal from Milwaukee to lead
exactly.
the second unit. And so that's
and you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It actually that was something else I did note that I said Gary Neal will be quality off the bench. But I should have put a buck.
Right.
Because that's where he was at the beginning of the year. Not knowing
that's
that
right.
of course he would get traded. And he of course went to Charlotte and gave them quality minutes. And played extremely well. Al Jefferson and Kemba Walker were wizard killers this year. I am actually glad that we didn't get anything or have a situation where we had to play a team like Charlotte is one of those teams in the playoffs that, as a Wizards fan, I was afraid to play with the way that our teams are matched up. Now, they won't give any issues to Miami. But they could have given a lot of other teams fits. They could have given Indiana fits by the way that they're playing this year. They could have given Chicago fits. And they also could have given Toronto a run for their money as well. But I truly believe, and I think I'll talk about it a little bit later, how they will be a little bit undermatched or overwhelmed by Miami. But, yeah, I liked a lot of the moves that Charlotte made last year and also during the season this year. And this actually may propel them into the future if they continue to do these moves, especially with this whole brand change going back to the Hornets, if you will. It may revitalize the city, actually, in terms of NBA basketball.
Right, and there you go. So, Charlotte was a bright surprise for me. It made my ass look good. the thing is, Charlotte, aside from a few bad losses, they lost to the Celtics a few nights ago. But I like the fact that they more than doubled the win total from last season when they won only 21 games. And I think that, with this experience Charlotte's getting right now in the playoffs, about to get screwed by Miami, no less. But at any rate, I think the combination of the playoff experience and the fact that that they're gonna come back hungrier, and then the coach, being from the Lakers, the future is looking a lot brighter in Charlotte, and it doesn't hurt that there'll be the Hornets again. Glory, glory,
yes.
Hallelujah! Now all that's left now is for your Wizards to become the Bullets again. That would be all right with me.
And then everything will be all right in the NBA world in terms
yeah,
of
exactly.
team names,
at least. But we'll keep the Wizards for now, I guess. As long as the Hornets are coming back to Charlotte, I'll be okay. So let's see. So basically, like, we're focusing on the East right now, but one more thing about the East. We mentioned Indiana earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, well, it didn't seem like they were coming apart at the seams. And I don't know if it was the pressure they were experiencing from being on top or trying to outdo Miami during the regular season. But I do know that one big thing that hurt them, in my opinion, was when they traded Danny Granger. I didn't realize how much they would upset their chemistry. But just keep in mind that Danny Granger was like a big brother to Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Granger was beloved by at least most of the Pacers, like players and coaching staff. So to see Larry Bird, the GM, ship him out for that kid from Philly. His name escapes me right now. Evan Turner. There you go, Evan Turner. I mean, Evan Turner's younger. He's a good player, but it's something to be said about chemistry. And I think that, and I wonder if Larry Bird pissed away the Pacers' chances with that trade. So I guess we'll find out.
But you know what? I heard something. They were talking about it during the game on Sunday, the Pacers' Thunder, and they said that Larry Bird saw this Pacers team falling apart at the seams earlier in the season, and he felt as though he needed to make these trades in order to keep to actually help the chemistry on this team, because he heard the bickering you know, he saw the me first attitude starting to bubble, and he felt as though certain things needed to be done in order to keep this team intact. And it just seemed like the trades and whatever other moves that they attempted just didn't help in terms of keeping the waters calm in Indiana, if you will. They played well against good teams, but they didn't finish the year well.
Right. Right. So let me ask you this, one more question about on the East. Do you see Indiana? Do you give them any shot of beating Miami in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals?
If the Indiana Pacers of the past 2 weeks show up, no.
Right.
If this team that we saw last year in spurts in the first part of the season and the way that they looked against Miami, if that Indiana Pacers team shows up, then potentially so. I'm looking at, you know, the matchups that they have and will potentially have in the first two rounds of the playoffs. I'm looking at them potentially getting rid of Atlanta relatively cleanly, even though they did split the series during the regular season. I think that they should be able to beat them in five. But I think they may end up having issues with either Chicago or Washington in that following round. I don't think it'll be as physical as they play against Miami, but both Chicago and Washington are rather talented teams, and, you know, they're not four or five seeds for no reason, but they can get by these teams quickly, and they don't play around with these dudes. Then I'm thinking that they may be able to come up and unseat Miami as the Eastern Conference champions.
Yeah, I just do not see anybody beat Miami in the East. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. But like I said before, it would be intriguing for Miami to face Brooklyn in the second round, because frankly, I think Brooklyn will beat Toronto like a drum in the first round.
Mm.
And I do, I really do. I think that Paul Pierce, all that experience, sure, they're old geezers, but they have experience. I think Jason Kidd has turned out to be a hell of a coach. You know, they had the best record since the start of the new year. They were at one point 33-13 since the start of the new year. But like before they started resting players down the stretch. But I do think that Toronto does not have the playoff experience. I don't think Toronto is ready for the playoff experience. They're a good story. They got good players. They're very talented. They're young. But for that reason, I'm picking against them. But anyway, that's not, you know, that's just beside the point. But I think outside of an intriguing second-round series with the Brooklyn Nets, a team that's owned Miami throughout the regular season, I don't see anybody, not even the Pacers, with home court advantage beating Miami. And that's just how I see it. Now, moving out west, where things are a hell of a lot more interesting, there are lots of intriguing playoff series found. I'm talking about the first round and potentially in the second round. Case in point, San Antonio, by far and away the best team in all basketball this year, by far.
Yeah,
in my opinion. How Greg Popovich gets it done every year, I never know. That's why I think that he and Doc Rivers are head and shoulders the best two coaches in the NBA. But I like this matchup in the sense that they're playing the Dallas Mavericks, who is a damn good 8 seed, by the way. You know, if the Mavericks were in the Eastern Conference, they'd be a 3 seed. But be it as it may, they'll be taking on those boys. Now, I would say this. I said earlier that, you know, regular season sometimes does not mean a damn thing in postseason in terms of matchups, series wins in the regular season. San Antonio swept Dallas. But I like Dallas' experience against San Antonio's experience. you know, they like Dallas has a stud, and of course, the Dirk Nowitzki. And, you know, basically the Spurs, they're full of studs, obviously. But I think both teams are well coached. Dallas by Rick Carlisle, very well coached squad. And even though I don't give Dallas much of a chance, I still think it's intriguing given Dallas's experience, and I think this would be at least a 6-game series.
Hmm. You know what? I don't think you're too far off with that. I don't know if, as much as I respect how deep and how veteran-laden that Mavericks team is, I don't know if I still would take them over San Antonio, but I still see the series going 5, maybe even 6, because of the way that Dallas has played towards the end of the season to kind of creep their way into the playoff run. Because there was a time there during the first part of the season, we had no idea whether or not these guys would even make the playoffs, and they barely got in, jumping over a very young and talented Phoenix Suns squad, who I would have enjoyed seeing them get into the playoffs and potentially facing San Antonio in the first round. It would have been a little bit more fun, in my opinion, even though I thought they probably would get swept. But nonetheless, these two Texas Titans, it'll be fun watching these guys go at it probably for the last time in their careers against one another in the playoff round. Who knows how much Dirk and Tim have left in the tank. So I'm going to go ahead and, as an old man basketball fan, enjoy this one. even though it's not a lot on the line, I mean, it is a first-round series, but it's not like it's a Western Conference final. Had it been a Western Conference final, it probably would be just a little bit more exciting for me. But it's still going to be fun, nonetheless, to see, you know, just think about it. All these guys that play for Dallas, who will probably, like, these, I guess you could say this is like maybe our second, third generation of basketball athletes that we've grown to like that probably won't be playing anymore in Dirk, Tim, Vince Carter, and I don't know if I'm going to throw in Eric Dampier, or Erica Dampier, as Shaq calls him, but you got to respect him. He does play rather nice, but this will be the last time we'll get a chance to see these guys probably play in an NBA arena, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy it.
There you go. But and here's some other series that are interesting. Actually, almost I'd say all the Western Conference first round series are pretty damn interesting. I mean, if you work your way down and still stay in San Antonio side of the bracket. Yeah, I love this first round of Houston Rockets and the Portland Trailblazers. I think the Rockets will actually take it because, you know, the matchups, you know, you have Houston with James Harden, who's a super smart team, and Dwight Howard, or as I want, like people like to call him still in LA or some plus places around the league, Dwight Coward. I think that those two guys, and plus Chandler Parsons, light it up from three. Jeremy Lin coming off the bench. I like the way Kevin McHale has coached the squad. And, you know, basically I think that they'll be too much for Portland, which will lead into a second-round series matchup with the Spurs. Now, Houston owned San Antonio throughout this regular season. I don't think they've gotten a game in on San Antonio. I mean, on Houston, rather. I think Houston has won at least 3 out of 4 against San Antonio this season. But that would make for an instant matchup because you got two similar teams, two defensive-minded teams, but I think Houston's a more athletic version, younger and athletic version of San Antonio. And that should be fun. That should be a whole hell of a lot of fun. But let's move down to Oklahoma City side of the bracket. I like the first-round series they have with Memphis. I think Memphis is tough. I think Memphis is a bunch of grinders. I love Zach Randolph's game. I love Marc Gasol's game as well. But the Memphis Grizzlies organization made a big mistake in getting rid of Lionel Hollins. I think that Lionel Hollins did a hell of a job the past few seasons with Memphis. And even though Memphis made the playoffs this, again this season, they were just, to me, they weren't the same team. They were not the same team. So I have OKC going through those cats in the first round. The last first-round series, the Clippers and the damn Warriors, that should be fun as well because both teams hated each other. Well, hate each other, rather, not hate it. They hate each other. And... you know, and you know, I don't know if you remember Klay Thompson from Golden State calling, pretty much calling what's his name, Blake Griffin, soft, practically soft, and saying he's a bull in a china shop. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of bad blood between those two squads, so that should make a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, so matter of fact, you got two up to both teams here. Man, get your popcorn ready. But at the same time, you may want to go ahead and get your milk ready, too, because it's going to be a pretty late series. both of these guys, both of these teams coming out playing probably, what, 10, 30 games throughout the entire series for us. So, yeah, man, if there's going to be a lot of Stevie Nights at work the next day watching these boys play.
Yeah. I think I'm practicing my calling sick cough, you know. to work. But... all in all, I think the West is going to be a hell of a lot of fun just because of the matchups. But I think, and I'm going to call it right now, you know, I think one of four teams could win the West. I think it can be out of San Antonio. It could be OKC. It could be the Clippers. It could damn well be the Rockets. You know, I think all four of those teams are very talented. I think that all four could give, we could make an interesting series with Miami. Well, I will say this, though. I think that, well, I take that back. I think out of those four teams, I think San Antonio could definitely beat Miami in a seven-game series. Hell, they should have done it last season. But I also think that the Clippers have a damn good shot at doing it as well. I just like the matchups. A great point guard. But first of all, to beat Miami, not only do you need great guard play from your point guards, you also need big men to force LeBron out of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what the Spurs did to him, or should have done to him last season. You know, they had the trees. They had the trees to keep LeBron outside of the paint and force him to become a jump shooter. Now, the Clippers have that as well. I mean, if you have, like, Griffin and DeAndre Jordan down low, swatting everything you try to put up, you know what I'm saying? That will force LeBron and company outside the paint. Clippers are too big, but they're also very athletic, too.
Yeah.
And which is why I don't think OKC would be such a good matchup for Miami. Instead, I think they'll be dominated by Miami because they're too perimeter oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And to beat Miami, you need to again have cats. Rough Riders to keep LeBron and company outside the paint. Okay, keep him and Dwayne Wade outside the paint. Houston has that. Houston has the length, but they don't have the athleticism nor the experience to hang with Miami. So basically, go ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. I was going to say that that's probably one of the things that would probably be a detriment to them. If it is a Houston-Miami series, but you're absolutely correct. This team, in terms of the Rockets and their length, would be a matchup issue for Miami. I don't know what their matchup record is throughout the year, but if you look at, you know, I was surprised looking at Dwight Howard's numbers of being, 18-12 throughout the year. Terrence Jones has played extremely well at the power forward spot. You can't forget about Parsons, who's also, about 6'9 himself. So you have a situation there with, especially with Parsons, a guy who would take whoever's covering him. He can be able to take them inside and outside. So you have that flexibility of a guy who you're going to have to respect and be able to have a situation where Harden can either drive to the hole, dish out, or go traditional half court and dish it down low to Dwight Howard as well.
Yes, there you go. So, but you make good points. I just think that I think that the Clippers and the Spurs, for these are for in the Spurs case experience, and the Clippers case, young and long and athletic. You just need to keep Dwayne Wade, LeBron James outside the paint. Because if you let those cats, they're not good jump shooters. They're just not. I mean, if you take away Ray Allen, you got a bunch of cats who could drive the basketball. I mean, Chris Bosh is trying to call himself turn into a three-point shooter, but he's a power forward. He has no damn business being out there on the perimeter anyway. So if you take those factors away, you still have a bunch of cats who can't shoot the ball consistently, but a bunch of drivers, a bunch of slashers, which is all good and good as you're going against the Thunder. But if you're going against a long team again, like San Antonio and the Clippers, you know, that's a different series.
That's actually what kept Miami from winning the title the first time against Dallas was the fact that they were forced to shoot jump shots, especially with guys who couldn't make buckets.
Right. And that's why Rick Carlisle is a damn good coach. He saw what happened the first two games of the series. Well, maybe the first three games. Miami was up 2-1. Before Winston State, Dallas ran out three straight wins. So that was credit to Rick Carlisle. So basically, from that point forward, the blueprint was laid. It's just that it took, like, the San Antonio Spurs actually coming damn close, only a few seconds close to pulling off the plan, that same plan that Dallas had, to success. So here's how I see things. I see Miami coming out of the East. I don't see anybody, maybe Brooklyn, getting in their way, but I think it's going to be nothing more than a speed bump. And I think the West will come down between San Antonio, OKC, and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. But I think that since OKC and the Clippers are on the same bracket, I think OKC has a better shot of beating the Clippers. And since OKC owns the Spurs, I think they'll beat the Spurs. But which means that, given what we just discussed about matchups, I see Miami, unfortunately, winning a third straight title.
Very interesting. I just don't see
San Antonio staying with OKC. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And, you know, I'm sorry, I keep repeating myself, but, I mean, seeing those matchups during the season, Russell Westbrook, the most athletic point guard in the NBA, ran circles around Tony Parker and company. Okay?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, we don't know what Kevin Durant could do. So I don't. Antonio does not have anyone who can stop those cats. They don't. They just don't. And so, on that strength alone, I don't see San Antonio getting back to the NBA Finals if they meet up with OKC. And OKC is the only team that could beat, that can prevent. Well, I think Houston can too, but I think OKC, more so OKC, because of the matchup issues, are the ones that can really, really, really prevent the Spurs from getting back to the NBA Finals. So that's why I have OKC back in the NBA Finals.
You're talking about the West. It is a situation where you have several teams that can make it to the finals,
right.
And I have three. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you now. I do have four teams, and this is the exact same four teams that you said that could potentially end up winning the West, which I find it kind of odd as well. Like, once again, I'm referring back to that old show back in October. It was easier for us to pick the West than it was for us to pick the East. Out of the West, it looked like you picked 6 of the 8 teams correctly to make it to the playoffs, and I picked 7.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a common thread: San Antonio, the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Rockets were in our top 4. With the exception
right.
of you having the Clippers going 1 and San Antonio 2 and me in reverse. So
yep.
it showed in the beginning of the year that they were by far the 4 strongest teams in this conference. And
mm-hmm.
the record shows that that's the case. Now,
right.
looking at a San Antonio team, like I said earlier, they may struggle a little bit against Dallas, but they go into the next round. Even though we said that regular season doesn't really mean much, you're looking at a Houston Rockets team which basically swept them throughout the season 4-0. Maybe it's in San Antonio's
yep.
head, maybe it's not, or maybe it's just a situation that they decide to go ahead and rest those guys that particular night. Either way, Houston can go into that series with the mindset that, hey, we can beat this team, and they have the players to prove it. Excuse me. And they also...
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll come in with that swagger of that 4-0 matchup for this regular season. So that may end up being a very interesting 7-game series, and it'll be a potential toss-up. But my heart says lean towards the champions, but, man, on paper, after watching what they did to them during the regular season, these stats say lean towards Houston. Also, another stat that I like about Houston, that they're the number two, what is that? They're the number two scoring team in the league, and they're number 4 in rebounding.
Right.
Those are two things that I respect about a playoff team is their rebounding and their free throws, which may be their downfall, which is free throw shooting, because of course we know how abysmal Dwight Howard is from the free throw line, but. he's shooting 55% from the line. So, you know, if the matchup calls for it, you know, maybe they have to go to him a little bit less so he doesn't get into too much foul trouble. You know, they're still a pretty good free throw shooting team with Aaron Brooks shooting 84%, James Harden shooting 87%, and Jeremy Lin shooting 82%. So you got about 3 or 4 guys on this squad, 5 guys on this team that shoot well over 80%. So that may be a situation that helps them get over. So, you know what, I may go ahead and lean with you and go Houston over San Antonio in that second round. And you're talking about a situation where Oklahoma City will probably end up facing the Clippers in the second round. I'm going to have to go with the Clip Show because of how deep this squad is. They've made
mm-hmm.
some moves in the off season, and also
yep. –
during the season that has bolstered this squad to a point where they can be a threat to any and everyone throughout the playoffs, and I would be scared of these dudes. I really would.
Right.
Of course, you got that regular starting five of Chris Paul. You got DeAndre Jordan. You got Blake
yep.
Griffin. And then you start looking at that bench. Oh my God! It was like an old all-star squad from the '90s. I'm like, where do they get these guys from? And so you know, you got a guy like Matt Barnes that's real nice defensively. Jamal Charles
right.
is good. He's a good shooter. Actually, a good scorer. J.J. Redick has the ability to shoot threes, and so does
right.
Hilo Turkoglu. Oh my God! Look. Danny Granger, if Danny Granger can somehow get mentally correct, he's going to be a huge threat to the squad, well, a huge threat for the squad. And then you got Big
right.
Baby, who, first and foremost, I'm trying to figure out when he'd go back to being called Big Baby. But he has
right.
that championship experience, along with Doc Rivers, who they've done it together, where they won a ring together.
Mm-hmm.
They can be unstoppable as well. So you have a very dangerous Clipper squad who I see actually beating Oklahoma City, I'm sorry. And, man, I actually am going to go against my pick from this preseason, and I'm going the Clippers.
Wow. Wow.
I was going to say, actually, you know what? I think I picked the Clippers.
Okay.
For us, I think, I don't know. I'm reading my notes, and my notes are horrible right now for that particular pick. But either way, you can always go back. Yeah. Listeners, go back, and you can listen to see exactly who I pick. But either way, I'm picking the Clippers as of now to go ahead and make it to the NBA Finals. To face, actually, God, do I want to go easy pick or do I want to go surprise pick with this East?
Go off your gut, man. Go off your gut. Go off your gut. Go off your gut.
You know what? I'm going with my gut, and I am going Indiana Pacers squeaking out against the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals in the seventh game, the home game, which is going to be pivotal for them. You know, we talk about how deep the Clippers are. The Brooklyn Nets are almost as deep, and we talk about experience. My God, you got Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, Deron Williams, Kevin Garnett. I was looking at the squad and the numbers that they had statistically throughout this past season. They have 8 guys that average over 8 points a game, and that's not including Kevin Garnett. And that's not including Kevin Garnett. And you've got guys like Marcus Thornton and Andre Blatch, who I was a little upset that the Wizards amnestied, but this dude was still a knucklehead. They just needed a coach to come in and get this dude right. And that's what happens when you get a dude to get him right. You see how well he's playing in New Jersey. He's up in New Jersey now, putting up 11-5 coming off the bench. But you got a bunch of long guys at the 4 and the 5 with Lopez and Blotch. You got a long point guard in Sean Livingston. You got a 6'4" guard in Deron Williams. You got Paul Pierce that can play the 2 and the 3. You got Joe Johnson that can play the 1, the 2, and the 3. You got Mizrahi Teletikov. Actually, I mispronounced his last name. I chopped that thing off. Man, but this dude, he's coming off the bench averaging 9 and 4. You got AK-47, Andre Kirilenko. He's not putting up no numbers, but, I mean, the name is there. I like Kirilenko when he was with Utah, even though he really hasn't been much since that whole open marriage thing. And then you got Mason Plumlee with the block. And then Allen Anderson coming off the bench for Brooklyn as well. I really do have them beating Miami, and I have them going through a fight with Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to go 7, and I got Indiana and the Clippers in the title game.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know what,
though? Yeah, I said it.
I give you props. I give you props for not being afraid to ride with your wisdom and ride with the Nets like legacy of success against the Heat. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I'm just saying the NBA playoffs are a different animal, but we'll see. That's what makes the NBA playoffs so damn fun. Thanks a lot, D. Appreciate you, and I'll be sure to talk to you during the second round of playoffs.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Scott.
You got it, man. Peace out.
All right, peace.
All right. That's my man, Dwayne Nash, breaking down, helping me down, break down, the NBA, 2014 NBA playoffs, as anyone could. I like his pick. I like when people go with the gut. You know, I like that Nets pick. Like I said before, the Nets whipped the Heat in the regular season. They were all 4 close contests, but I think the Heat. The Nets are tough enough to do it. I think that that the Nets are not afraid of the Heat. But I just don't see it. I just, you know, the NBA playoffs are a different animal. Like I said, I don't give Indiana much of a chance. They're too mentally fragile. So between the Nets and the Heat, whoever wins that series, go to the NBA Finals. Unfortunately, I got the Heat winning it all again. But we'll see. It's Scott Burks with the Clown Hour. Take care. All right. 06. Peace.
Yeah.